Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Bolsa Mexicana de Valores second quarter 2015 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We will have a question and answer session later on, and the instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Now, I would like to welcome our host for today's conference, Mr. Ramón Güemes Sarre, Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. I would like to welcome you all to Bolsa Mexicana de Valores' second quarter 2015 earnings conference call. Before proceeding, I'd like to provide a brief safe harbor statement. This presentation contains forward-looking statements and information related to Bolsa that are based on the analysis and expectations of its management, as well as assumptions made and information currently available at the Bolsa. Such statements reflect the current views of the Bolsa related to future events and are subject to risk, uncertainties, and assumptions. Many factors could cause the current results, performance, or achievements of Bolsa to be somewhat different from any future results, performance, or achievements that may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements, including, among others, changes in general economic, political, governmental, and business conditions, both in a global scale and in the individual countries in which Bolsa does business, such as changes in monetary policies, in inflation rates, in prices, in business strategy, and various other factors. Should one or more of these risks or uncertainties materialize, or should underlying assumptions prove incorrect, actual results may vary considerably from those described herein as anticipated, believed, estimated, expected, or targeted. Bolsa does not intend and does not assume any obligation to update these forward-looking statements. I would also like to remind participants that today's call is being recorded, and a replay of this call will be available online on July 23rd at the Bolsa's corporate website, www.bmv.com.mx. During this call, and as we have done in past quarters, 2014 figures will be presented on a pro forma basis in order to consider Indeval's full consolidation. All figures are in Mexican pesos, unless stated otherwise. Joining us for today's call are Mr. José Oriol Bosch, CEO, Pedro Zorrilla, Senior Vice President of Corporate Services, José Manuel Allende, Senior Vice President of Strategic Planning and Business Development, Roberto González, Senior Vice President of Post Trade, Luis Carballo, Senior Vice President of Technology, Gabriel Rodriguez, General Manager of CIFICAP, and myself, Ramón Güemes. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. José Oriol Bosch.
Hi. Good morning and welcome to our second quarter 2015 conference call. As you know, this call is intended for the financial community only, and the floor will be open at the end to address any question you might have. As always, all figures are in pesos and compared to the second quarter of 2014, except otherwise stated. I would like to start by updating you on the Indeval shares. There were seven Indeval shareholders who had not exercised their put option on July 5th when this expired. Therefore, we now exercise our call options, and the total amount of the loan we are taking is the 1 billion pesos we have talked about in before. As mentioned in our last call this quarter, we had a downsizing of our headcount, which led to an 11% reduction in personnel. Total cost for this effort was 32 million pesos. We are setting a new headcount limit of 600 employees. Our number in December was 648, and our current number is 576. Going forward, we expect our personal expense to be between 175 and 180 million pesos per quarter. I want to tell you that we see a strong opportunity in targeting medium-sized companies to bring to the exchange, starting in debt and helping them to grow in equity. In derivatives, we see a great opportunity as well in the new regulation, in the development of a futures bond market, and in the transition of the market from voice to electronic trading. Let me move on our financial results. As you recall, 2014 numbers are pro forma considering the Indeval's consolidation. In summary, revenues grew 11%, while expenses were contained at 6% growth. This was in spite of the extraordinary expenses from the headcount downsizing during the quarter. EBITDA reached
612 million pesos,
and EBITDA margin was 48.5, right on target with our guidance. This led to a net income of 381 million pesos. Total revenues for the quarter were 640 million pesos, 64 million pesos above second quarter 2014. Let me review this business line by business line. Cash equities trading and clearing revenues were 57 and 44 million pesos respectively, growing 4% and 3% respectively. This was driven by daily average traded value increase from 12 billion pesos during the second quarter of 2014 to 12.7 billion pesos this quarter. Derivatives trading, MEXDER, revenues were 19 million pesos, down 12% due to less trading in the US dollar contract. In the case of Asigna, revenues were 26 million pesos, 23% below last year. Revenues for Asigna are falling more than those of MEXDER because of margin deposits. Average margin deposits this year are 18.5 billion pesos compared with 22.6 billion pesos for 2014. This is linked to the reduced trading in the US dollar contract. CFICAP revenues grew by 13% growth and is coming from both Chile and Mexico. Locally, we have seen increased activity in the bond and IRS desk. Listing and maintenance revenues are growing 9%. It reflects an 8% growth in maintenance annual fees and 17% growth in listing revenues. Listing revenues are driven mostly by amounts raised in the short term, which this quarter grew 9%. Additionally, the number of medium and long-term debt listings grew 15%. In equity listings, we had two deals this quarter, Unifin for 3.6 billion pesos and Higsa for 7.2 billion pesos. We had two more IPOs early in July, Nemac for 12.4 billion pesos and Elementia for 3.9 billion pesos. This brings the year-to-date number to six equity deals, four IPOs, and two follow-ons. Custody revenues increased by 14 million pesos to 136 million pesos. This is explained by higher custody balances and extraordinary fees from the WFC, the World Forum of Central Security Depositories, event in Mexico. These extraordinary fees are offsetting the elimination of intercompany operations, which we mentioned last quarter. Revenues in information services grew 30%. Valmer grew at 38% as a result of extraordinary valuations and operational risk assessments, while our data sales business line grew 25%. This growth reflects last year price adjustments and this year appreciation of the US dollar and the updating of our databases. Expenses for the quarter amounted to 345 million pesos, 6% above second quarter 2014. Personal expenses grew by 18 million pesos, or 10%. However, as we mentioned before, this includes 32 million pesos of extraordinary expenses from the headcount downsizing effort. As I said before, going forward, we expect quarterly personal expenses to be between 175 and 180 million pesos. Technology costs are 16% higher than last year. However, this reflects the timely recognition of expenses as they are in line with the 2014 average. The reduction in CFICAP Chile fees is caused by the restructure of our JV in Chile we have been discussing in the past. The offsetting amount for the reduced fees is in minority interest. Other expenses are 1 million pesos below last year. This is the net effect savings for the reclassification of telecommunication expenses to technology in the fourth quarter of last year and expenses from the WFC event. This income and expense result led us to an operating margin for the quarter of 46.1% and an EBITDA margin of 48.5%. At the bottom line, we posted a net income of 190 million pesos, an increase of 3% compared to the same period of last year. Cash flow generated during the first 6 months of the year is 40 million pesos. It is the net effect of income, maintenance fee collected in advance, and the 569 million peso dividend paid in May. With this result, I think we are on our way to reach our guidance of net income in the range of 800 to 820 million pesos, and for EBITDA margin between 48 and 49%. Last of all, there is a pending capital reduction for 77 million pesos, which we expect to pay early in the fourth quarter. With this, I conclude my presentation, and me and my colleagues are ready to take any questions you may have.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question or comment at this time, press the star key and the number one on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, press the pound key. Again, for questions, just press the star and the number one. And our first question comes from the line of Marcelo Sintra from Goldman Sachs. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call. So I have two questions. My first question is regarding your net income guidance, which remained unchanged at 800 million pesos to 820 million pesos for this year. But when we look at the first half of the year, basically annualizing the result, we would see net income maybe at least 5% below the lower end of the guidance for the year. So I just would like to better hear from you guys what makes you confident that the company would achieve this guidance for the year, if it's only related to the cost initiatives or if there's any other thing that we are missing here. Thank you, and then I will follow up with my second question.
Marcelo, thank you for your question. This is Ramon. I think there are two main factors that lead us to believe we will be reaching our guidance, and these are the savings from the headcount downsizing, and two, the cyclical nature of the listing fees. So we would definitely expect a better second half than the first half.
Yeah, okay. So on the cyclical listing, you basically are referring to equities, right?
Not equities, but mostly debt. Short-term debt is very important. And long-term debt also plays a number. But it's our listing revenues come mostly from debt listing.
Yep. Yeah, okay, perfect. Thank you. And my second question would be...
Sorry. The cyclicality is not from a market perspective, but from an accounting perspective. We amortize the fees throughout the calendar year. So whatever we list in January, we amortize over 12 months. And what we list in February, we amortize over 11 months. And therefore, it always grows.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. So, and my second question is a follow-up on your comments on the Indeval loan. I just would like maybe a feedback on if you are still planning to start to pay the loan in January next year, and if it's still, what's the timetable for paying the loan? Thank you.
Yes, the loan is a five-year loan with a semi-annual equal payments. So once we conclude we have exercised our call option, there are still some previous shareholders whom we have to pay. Once that process is over, then we will, let's say, restart the five-year period. So the first principal payment should be
in February of next year, most likely. So between February and March, we will have to make the first 100 million peso payment.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Marcelo. And our next question is from Tito Labarta from Deutsche Bank. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for the call. My question, if you look at your EBITDA margin, excluding the extraordinary expenses, it was actually pretty high at 52.9%. So just wondering, you know, you said expenses should be between about 175 to 180 million per quarter going forward. Do you think this level of EBITDA margin could be sustainable, particularly with, you said, you expect a better second half of the year as listing fees pick up? So just wondering your thoughts on the EBITDA margin. Is the level we saw excluding the extraordinary expenses sustainable going forward, or maybe if you could just give some more color on that. Thank you.
We believe we second half EBITDA margins will be better from a combination of both the additional revenues from the listing fees and the savings from personnel will also impact. But we're not ready to change our guidance yet of a margin between 48 and 49%. But we're definitely expecting the second half to be a little better.
Okay, and just curious in terms of not changing your guidance yet, is that your concern maybe about the volumes, which were a bit weak in the quarter, or, you know, just kind of, it seems a little conservative, just wondering, you know, what your thought process in there in terms of what concerns you may have in the second half of the year?
It's an annual number, Tito. We're not trying to change our guidance or with every good result. I think let's wait and see. Markets were a little weaker the second quarter than the first, so you know, we'd rather be a little conservative when given guidance.
Okay, no, that's fair. I just wanted to get if you had any concerns about that, because you had about 48.5% EBITDA margin in the first quarter, above 50%, so it shouldn't be too hard to be above that guidance. But just wanted to see, you know, what concerns you may have about being able to reach or sustain that going forward. That's helpful. Thanks.
Thank you.
And our next question is from the line of Victor Chabel from Credit Suisse. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Ramon. Just a quick follow-up here on the dividends. What are the expectations going forward in terms of payout, given the debt amortization that is now in front of us in the next years? So just any thoughts here would be great.
Victor, good morning. On the dividend, we are well aware that dividend is very important for our shareholders, and we have always tried to pay as high a dividend as possible. We will have to start paying the debt next year. We'll be paying $200 million per year, so we will definitely have to analyze the combination of that payment. It's going to be a mixture of dividends and use of cash. I can only say we will be paying as high a dividend as possible, but there will be some reduction, not the full principal payment, but there will be some reduction.
I see. I understand. Thank you, Ramon.
No, thank you, Victor.
And our next question comes on the line of Fred DeMaris from UBS.
Thanks for the conference call. Just two quick follow-ups on my side. The first one on the OPEX, we saw the new guidance, which is quite lower than what we had in the previous quarters, which is great. I was curious whether you had more scope to reduce OPEX, or if we should consider that now it will be business as usual and we won't have more adjustments in the coming quarters or coming months. And the second question is just a quick follow-up, a quick update on the derivatives side, especially for Mexdair, and trying to understand what you're seeing there. Thank you.
Fred, on the OPEX, we think personnel expense is going to be lower, and that's the expectation we're giving, not in a specific guidance on total OPEX. And do we see more room for further savings? I would say we're always looking for future savings, but we do not now have another initiative or another large initiative for cost reductions.
Okay.
And if you could repeat your second question, please.
Regarding derivatives. Sure. Yeah, let me take this. Okay, yes. What we think is that we have now a very good momentum for Mexdair, that this momentum is improving, and therefore we have a good opportunity that we are now focused on. And the opportunity that which is basically because of regulation, as you know, regulation, global regulation as well as local regulation is changing. We are seeing in the particular case of Mexico and some products, we are seeing a couple of changes that some of them that had a negative impact in the first half of the year. As already mentioned, we had an impact in Mexdair in the dollar contracts, and that was because of the volatility and a regulation that is impacting the investors, the institutional investors, because of the valuation. But this regulation is already changed, and is going to be effective as of January 1st next year. And as you know, there is also other regulations that as of April next year, all the standardized swaps that are traded in Mexico have to be cleared through a clearing house, and this is going to be also a good opportunity for the MEX there. And on the other side, if you look at the numbers on the Mexican markets, and if you take the ME bonus or you take the TIIE, the fixed income products, and you look at the cash market, the size of the and the liquidity of the cash market compared to the future market, the opportunity is very high. The numbers as those are OTC markets. The numbers are not public or not official, but I think that the traded volume probably is more than 95% in the OTC market compared to the futures market. So this is a very good opportunity for those products. So we think that there's a good opportunity that we are working with the main participants of the market, working with the financial authorities as well. And we see the opportunity in ME Bono Futures, we see the opportunity in TS, and we see a good opportunity on the dollar, as mentioned, because of this change in the regulation. And we are going to be taking advantage of that. So hopefully the numbers are going to be improving.
That's great. Thank you very much for the details.
Thanks to you.
And our next question is from Alex Spada from Itaúba. Your line is now open.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. I have two, actually. First one is related to your net income guidance for the year. As has been already discussed, if we analyze or if we put together the first Q and the second Q, we reach a net income of around 380 million pesos. However, if we adjust by the one-off expenses that you had year-to-date, we can easily reach more than 400 million pesos as a recurring figure year-to-date. Given that the second half is normally stronger than the first half of the year for the reasons that Ramon already explained, is it fair to say that on a recurring basis, BMV would have good odds of actually beating the top of the net income guidance range provided for 2015?
Alex, good morning.
Good morning.
Our year-to-date net income is 381. If we that leaves us with 440 million for the second half of the year, which is 220 per quarter. Considering if we have 20 million pesos savings pre-tax, I think we will be somewhere in our range. Could there be some upside? Maybe, but as I think, as we told Tito, we're not. We'd rather be a little conservative and have a good delivery than.
I
can be very optimistic at the at the first sign. Mm-hmm.
I understand, Aman, but the point. My point is, if we exclude these non-recurring items that you had year to date, which were, as far as I understand, more than 40 million pesos in extraordinary expenses, if you put together the first Q and the second Q, that would add another probably 25 million pesos to your bottom line. So it would make the 381 go above 400 million. That's the point. And that would leave only, you know, not only, but slightly more than 400 million to be repeated, so that you could beat the top of the guidance.
Yeah, we think we feel comfortable enough to reach our target, but we do not feel comfortable enough to change it at the moment, because there are some things that could have an impact that we're still looking at those numbers and the small things that could have impact on the during the second quarter, the second half of the year, I'm sure.
Okay, thank you. And if you allow me a second question, what are the latest news on the possible delisting of mutual funds? Has this process already started, or if not, when can we start it to happen?
Hi, Alex. The mutual fund regulation has just got in place right this month, July. There are still pending some annexes for regulation, which provide mutual funds certain time. I guess that should be on a time from three to six months. So up to now, we haven't seen any impact, and that should be maybe by the end of the year, in the fourth quarter. But so far, we haven't got anything.
Okay, and just as a reminder, if I recall well, the amount of contributions in the revenue line coming from those funds is about 32 million pesos per year, right?
Yes, that was last year. Yeah, it's pretty similar, should be this year.
Okay, thank you very much.
And our next question is from Juan Carlos Arandia from Citigroup. Your line is now open.
Good morning, Jose Ramon. Thank you for the call. Can you provide us a quick update on the development of the Energy Master Limited partnerships?
Juan Carlos, sure. An update on MLPs. It's Juan Carlos Arandia de Citi.
Thanks for the question. We have been working in the last month, along with the authorities, Ministry of Finance and Securities Commission, in order to try to define two things. One is, of course, the tax issue, which is critical for this kind of instruments. And the second is all the regulatory framework regarding how these instruments will eventually be set for listing on the market. We are on the middle of the process. Hopefully, we can have something by the end of this quarter as a general framework, legal framework for
for the market participants' discussions, and we would love to have one of the first energy-related instrument by the end of the year. But until now, we're still working on the regulation issues.
Got it. Thank you.
And our next question is from the line of Rafael Frade from Bradesco. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning all. I have two questions. The first is a follow-up from previous questions that you mentioned that maybe some developments in the second half could impact your expectations in terms of results. Is there any specific development that you can share with us that could happen? And the second question would be related to Mila. Recently, BMNF Bovespa has been acquiring stakes in the exchange in Chile, and also there are some rumors that they can be talking with other exchanges. Do you think that this could have any impact on the development of Mila from your side?
Rafael, good morning. I think going forward, we could see one is a possible effect of the delistings from the mutual funds, and two, technology investments in post-trade segments of the business. We have several, some initiatives that are always ongoing, and we could have a slight increase in expenses. But as we told Tito and Alex, the year's looking good, but let's keep our options open and not count our chickens too soon. Mm-hmm. Regarding Mila?
Yeah, regarding Mila, as you know, we joined a couple of months ago, and we have seen a slow start so far. We're still working in a couple of things, mainly on the regulation side, trying to standardize the regulation for the four different countries. There are some changes that already took place in the local regulation, as it is the case of the IPO listing. Initially, the MILA, the first step was for cash equity trading, and now there is a draft of on the regulation that with the idea to include the IPO listings between those four countries. So we're expecting at some point to be ready and to have IPO listings from Mexican companies that will go to all the other three countries, through Chile, Colombia, and Peru. We continue to participate very actively in some work groups with all the other countries. And I think that Mila is going to continue to take time. It's going to be a gradual development, but I think that we're on the right track.
Okay, that's perfect. If allow me an additional question, is there any development in the discussions on regulation to allow Afores to lend stocks that could improve the market for stock lending, in fact?
Yeah, this is something that I know that a couple of Afores have been working on for a long time, and I think that this requires a change in the law that is not ready yet. But what I have heard is that they continue to push for this change in the law to be able to lend securities. But I do not have any update regarding that.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm not showing any further questions in the queue. I would like to turn the call back to Ramon Güemes for any final remarks.
Okay, if there is any question, thank you very much to all of you for participating today. And we look forward to updating again in our next call. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This concludes the program, and you may all disconnect. Have a wonderful day, everyone.